With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This next mystery guest is probably hoping for the Lakers and Celtics to meet in the NBA Finals, but we're sure he has no problem seeing the Celtics go home. His number 42 is retired by the Lakers, and he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2003, and he was named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
Reveal myself.
We already guessed you, James.
Yeah.
We already guessed you. Big game, James Worthy. We got it. We nailed this one. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it and coming on as our mystery guest. Of course, there's so many memories that we all have dating back to the great rivalry between the Celtics and the Lakers. I don't know, James. Maybe it's on the cusp. Maybe we're going to see it again. Is that possible?
That's my wish. I mean, the Celtics and the Lakers in the finals is historic. I mean, you look at the 80s and then you look at 2008 and 2010, the Garnett and the Kobe years with Ray Allen and those guys, I think people look forward to it. And there's nobody else that I'd rather beat than the Celtics in the finals.
Yeah, I'm with you, James, speaking from a California boy growing up in L.A.
We hate him. We hate him here, James.
What a surprise. I'm on an island out here.
Yeah.
So, I want to take you back because, I mean, I finally got a chance to talk to a Laker man.
Take me back.
And my thing is, okay, so with all those interactions with the Celtics over the years, there's a lot of fights. There was a lot of contentious battles. Can you give me one that you liked the most? Some battle that you had with the Celtics that I guess you're proud of, that you're happy about?
Well, I think, it's funny. I did Cedric Maxwell's podcast about a month and a half ago, and we went down memory lane. It's twofold for me. One is bad and was a big-time learning experience for me, my first time in the finals against the Celtics in 1984. We came in and we accomplished what we wanted to do. We won one game on the Boston Garden floor. We kind of got game one, and we thought that was good, and we had a chance to win game two with about 13 seconds left to go. A lot of confusion as to whether to call a timeout or whether to try to get the ball inbounds quickly. And Magic Johnson threw it into me, and I made this errant pass, cross-court pass, trying to get it over to Byron Scott, and Gerald Henderson stole it, laid it up. We went into overtime, and we lost game two. We had that game. That was a big learning experience for me. And then we lost in seven games. Come back the next year in the finals, we lose game one, and they call it the Boston Massacre. This is in 1985. They beat us by 36 points. Kareem had a subpar game. But in game two was a very special moment because we knew in game two after we won that we were going to win that championship. The Lakers had never beaten the Celtics before. And we knew we were playing for more than ourselves. We were playing for Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, all those teams that were defeated by the Celtics. So I would have to say, losing in 84 was a sour taste, but I learned a lot from that. And then coming back in 1985, and I think the Lakers are the only team to beat the Celtics on that nasty parquet floor there.
That would be correct, James.
So, James, I was wondering if you could just settle this long debate we've always had out here in Boston. So, in your opinion, who was better, Magic or Bird?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Magic. his record versus Bird. You know, he won in college versus Bird when he was in Indiana State. And I think we won 2 out of 3. So I'm going to have to go with Magic. By a short margin, Larry was amazing. The guy wasn't fast, couldn't jump that high. But, you know, he played hard. He played the game the way it's supposed to be played. And boy, could he shoot. So, but I'd have to give the edge to the point guard for how he enhanced everybody around him. So did Larry, but I'm going with Magic.
I saw there were some great series in the month of June between the Celtics and the Lakers. And so you go out to the Fabulous Forum out there, and it'd be beautiful air conditioning. And conditions would be great no matter how hot it was outside. You come back to the Boston Garden, and it's hot as hell. I remember the game, you guys had the oxygen tanks out there, and Kareem is putting it over his nose. Did you guys realize, because Pat Riley was always pissed about this, he wrote in his book that he thought that Red just jacked up the thermostat with the heat. Did you guys ever realize that the Boston Garden, the old Boston Garden, never had heat in that building? They don't even have heaters, I don't think, in there. Did you guys ever realize that?
Sure. Well, no, we didn't realize that, but we sure felt like they didn't have heat in there. they had no heat in the winter and no air in the summer. Now, I think the Boston Garden had air conditioning in their locker room. But, yeah, that was a nasty place to play, man. I think after 1984, we were so tired and almost dehydrated because it's the first time we played in June and didn't know what to expect. But the next year, we started drinking Gatorade in April and prepping to play in June in Boston. It's crazy.
But that visitor's locker room was tiny, and it was, you're right, it was a dump.
Yeah, so we're talking to James Worthy, one of the greatest basketball players to ever play.
If players could see the locker rooms now, they'd look at it like an outhouse. They wouldn't have nothing
They probably would revolt and just force them to change it. So talking about today's game, have you had an opportunity? I know you do a lot for the Lakers right now, pre- and post-game shows out there in L.A., have you had an opportunity to watch some of the Celtics this year?
A little bit. Of course, Pat Riley is there in Miami. I have a little connection there. But I love the way Boston played all year long. And I had kind of thought that in the playoffs that Boston could beat Miami in 6 or 7 games. But, you know, with Butler's leadership and the young 20-year-old kid rising, they seem to have peaked at the right time, and there's no advantage in the bubble. That's another issue. You know, it's like AAU. And I think, you know, for some teams that might be a slight disadvantage or an advantage to the underdog. I mean, I would have loved for AD to have been in Staples Center when he hit that big shot against Denver. That would have been crazy for him. But I just think, you know, Boston, you know, they got behind the 8-ball, and Miami got a lot of momentum going. So, you know, they got their work cut out for them now.
So, James, do you think that your best player on your team needs to be the de facto leader of the team?
No.
So a role player can be a leader of the team.
Marcus Smart.
I think it depends on the voice in the locker room. I know that LeBron is, you know, a big-time leader, but I think Rondo is just as big. His voice is just as big as LeBron. You know, Bob McAdoo and Michael Cooper had a big voice, even though we knew Magic was our captain. So, I think the best player on the team has to lead by example, his effort, his play. Definitely has to lead number one there, but a lot of guys don't engage verbally. They don't have that talent to tell people what to do and how to do it and talk in the locker room and things of that nature. But your best player for sure better be exemplifying what it takes to win on the floor.
We're talking to Hall of Famer James Worthy. And James, you look at the Celtics right now. We're watching this series. We're seeing a lot of talent. Maybe it's young talent, you know, in Tatum and Brown, but when you see a team with 5-6 minutes to go, just turn the ball over, you know, maybe get out of their offense. What What do you think of that team? Is it just, is it inexperience? Is it, I think Kendrick Perkins called it my turn basketball. Like what are you seeing from this team late that makes them just lose it?
There's a certain element to the playoffs, you know, especially in a seven game series, when you're down and it's a must win. It's a subconscious pressure that a lot of people aren't able to get over. It takes a little experience. I don't know whether it's their youth, but, you know, things get a little tight. Either you're trying to protect the lead, which you should never try to do by, you know, slowing things down. You have to continue to play your game, continue to be aggressive. And I think sometimes teams get into a point where they try to protect their lead while the other team is gaining momentum. Or if they're behind, it's the pressure. You know, I saw the Clippers, you know, it's the pressure of having to, you know, hit shots, big shots. It's, you know, it's elimination time. So it's not like regular season where, you know, you might be in New York on a Tuesday, Philadelphia on a Wednesday, you know, D.C. on a Friday. You get to skip around. When you get into the playoffs, you got one team for seven games, and there are a lot of adjustments being made from game to game. So if you're not able to make those adjustments on the fly, but most importantly, it becomes a matter of will, mind over matter, effort, determination. And sometimes if you're hesitant, it shows up in your game. Turnovers, air balls, missed shots, missed assignments, things of that nature.
I think you're totally right about the difference in the bubble and the way series normally unfold. The first two are at home. You got to take care of home court advantage. Then you try to win one on the road. And, of course, game five becomes pivotal. All that stuff goes out the window because you're playing on a totally neutral site. I think the Lakers are probably the team that's going to win the whole thing. But if you look at the East right now, Boston may be more talented. But would you be concerned with a Miami team coming and playing the Lakers?
Man, the way the Denver Nuggets are playing right now, I'm concerned about everybody.
Yeah,
and we're not out. You know, I'm not putting us out of this series yet. What I saw Denver do to Oklahoma and the Clippers, they're a unique team. There's something about them that they're going to come back. You know, some teams you can put away, but something about Denver is that they, you know, Jokic is a, you know, he's you know, a throwback. You know, centers have moved out to the 3-point line. They're out there, you know, playing like small forwards. And Jokic goes down in there like, reminds me of Sabonis. Mm. You know, he has footwork. He has footwork like Kevin McHale, up and under. Super smart. Passes like Larry Bird. You know, he reads the defense like nobody I've ever seen. He knows where the defense is going to be based on their pick and roll and how they come out of it. So he just hesitates. Makes the defense make a, you know, a decision, and he finds the open shot. He's an amazing player. So, you know, you can't count them out. Murray, of course, seems to be unstoppable. But we can't allow guys like Grant to have career nights and things of that nature. But I do think the Lakers are better. I think if they attack and don't turn the ball over, it was a poor rebounding performance by our bigs. You know, AD only had two or three rebounds. You can't do that. You got to be aggressive every night. This is the playoffs. No nights off.
James Worthy, it was great talking to you. We really appreciate it. The Hall of Famer here on the Harbor One Hotline. And again, good luck in your series out there.
It's a pleasure. I hope we see you guys.
All right, thanks.
This is James Worthy.
There he is.
Right, you all right, Chris? Take a shower or what?
You remember when Mark Bevarro came on?
Yeah.
Remember that I just needed a moment?
God, that was
I feel like I have one. How good is he?
Yeah.
I've never heard his analysis, but he's pretty damn good. He's got this, like, I feel like he should be singing some sort of like Barry White, right? He's got that soulful voice right there.
You're becoming Wiggy right now. I mean, just
that's okay.
Hi, James.
That's my
hope. I'm a Laker fan.
Awesome, James.
I didn't do that.
James.
I didn't do it at all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.